W2DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Memphis, five police officers have been fired as part of the ongoing investigation into the death of a black 29-year-old motorist. Family attorney Ben Crump says Tyree Nichols was beaten beyond recognition after he fled a traffic stop out of fear.
Tyree Nichols has no criminal history whatsoever. He's a hardworking young man. He was a hardworking young man employed by FedEx, working along with his father.
The FBI has launched a criminal rights investigation. More arrests related to the January 6th Capitol siege. Three active duty U.S. Marines under arrest for illegally entering the building. All three worked in military intelligence. The price of postage stamps increases tomorrow for the third time in nearly 17 months. The cost to mail a one-ounce letter will be 63 cents. It's up from 60 cents now. Regal Cinemas plans to close 39 movie theaters across the country in February, a move that could save $22 million annually. This is ABC News. Reaction in Hollywood following this week's announcement of involuntary manslaughter charges against actor Alec Baldwin and a film set armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, charged in the death of Rust cinematographer Helena Hutchins, killed by a live round fired by an on-set gun that was supposed to contain no live ammunition. ABC's Mola Lenghi tells us the union representing virtually every professional American actor is speaking out against the charges.
The Screen Actors Guild releasing a statement this week supporting Baldwin, insisting that while Hutchins' death tragic, it was not Baldwin's job to ensure the gun was not loaded, saying, quote, an actor's job is not to be a firearms or a weapons expert. The industry assigns that responsibility to qualified professionals who oversee their use and handling in every aspect.
The TSA says it's looking into a potential cybersecurity incident that resulted in a data breach at a commuter airline of personal information and included the names of individuals on the TSA's no-fly list. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wildlife advocates want to ban bear hunters from using dogs. That's because hunting dogs tend to get into fights with federally protected gray wolves. A new study says wolf packs suffer when a member dies because of human activity. Mike Moen has more.
Researchers say wolves sometimes venture out of protected sites like national parks, and when one is killed by poaching or struck by a vehicle, the chances of its pack staying together decrease by 27%. If it's a pack leader, group stability decreases by more than 70%. Kira Cassidy of Yellowstone National Park led the research, says these impacts don't always surface in population estimates, but they're just as important.
Each wolf kind of has their own set of responsibilities and tasks, especially the leaders. And so when a pack loses one of those, it is the most detrimental.
In Wisconsin, conservation and wildlife groups are asking the U.S. Forest Service to ban hounding in Wisconsin's Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. Because of federal protections, wolves can't be hunted, but the petition says there are still violent encounters between hunting dogs and wolves, even when other animals are being hunted. The Center for Biological Diversity is among the groups seeking the ban, where Colette Atkins says it's a matter of public safety, too, with people hiking through forests.
We don't think this type of hunting has any place in our national forests, which really should be a haven for wildlife.
On a broader scale, some pro-hunting groups and farmers' advocates say wolves prey on livestock that need to be protected. Separately, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is in the process of updating its wolf management plan. The public comment period has been extended to February 28th. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media Network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey!
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's exactly right, and a wonderful Native organization helps to sponsor this portion of the program. It is the Native American Community Development Institute, and they run the All My Relations Arts Gallery on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Right now, they have a wonderful dance performance by Rosie Sima's Dance called She Who Lives on the Road to War, but there are limited in-person performances, and there's only 10 days left, so make sure you go to allmyrelationsarts.com and get your tickets.
Yeah, good call there. Hey, Ogama, we don't do this enough, but we want to say Pini Gigi to all our Patreon supporters. And we're on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. And I just want to thank people, and Pini Gigi means thank you in Ho-Chunk. Thank you for the pleasure and the privilege of your time when people listen to our show. I think that's really huge. And we run into people all the time that listen to our show, Ogama, and I just want to give a heartfelt Pini Gigi thank you. And let's get to the news now that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get with Ogama here? And everyone, wherever I go, Ogama asks about you. So take it away.
Yeah, bonjour, Anine, relatives. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I have some news today. The first little bit of news I want to give you is just right up in line with what Robert said. We really appreciate and want to say chi-mi-gwich to our Patreon donors. And if you're interested in being generous and giving for the holiday season, you can go to patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. And anything that you feel comfortable donating is definitely helpful to us here and helps us to provide the great content that you hear on our show every day. So patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was just a little bit of a wrap up on the Tribal Leaders Summit that happened this past week at the White House in Washington, D.C. And I think what is most interesting, there has been like a very short window of time for this White House Tribal Nation Summit. It was started under Obama, and then between COVID and the Trump administration, things went kind of quiet. And now this year was its first year back in person since Obama. So there was a lot of Native people who came up. But I think one of the most interesting things is that Indian Country Today reported that the youth were there and tribal leaders were there, and they were saying things like, "You're saying we respect your treaties and then not actually respecting treaties, or you're saying that we're going to come and transition from consultation to consent, but you're not doing that." So there were tribal leaders there who were really willing to talk with federal officials and say that the government is not doing its due diligence, and they're giving a lot of words without action behind them. And that is really exciting, I think, for me to hear about. How about you, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And it really, it makes me personally pause, because, you know, we talk a lot about things, and we need to really walk the walk. And I don't mean you, but I'm just meaning the general you. And so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that tribal leaders were, you know, respectfully critical of what happens at the federal level with the government and the diligence that's needed to ensure that Native people are heard. So the that kind of leads me into my next thing, which is that there's, and this is from 2021, but I don't know that we've talked about this yet. So I wanted to make sure that we were you know, aware of this, but the Safeguard Tribal Objects of Patrimony Act of 2021 is passed, and the bill prohibits the exportation of Native American cultural items and archaeological resources that were illegally obtained. It provides for the return of those items, including voluntary returns, and establishes and increases the related criminal penalties. So this kind of stemmed out of a Southwestern tribe who had a shield that had been stolen a long time ago, and it turned up in an auction in Paris. So what it means is there's no exportation of Native American cultural items, which is a way that people who steal Native historical facts for profit find a way around the current federal laws preventing people from creating non-Indigenous works of crafts and other things when they're not an Indigenous person. So this bill also requires the Department of the Interior and the Department of the State to each designate a liaison to facilitate and hold trainings and workshops on the voluntary return of human remains and cultural items. Many universities and museums across the country still have the remains of our relatives and cultural items within their collections, I guess you could call it, and many of them are on display. And a lot of Native people, myself included, find that really deeply disturbing. I don't know about you, Robert.
Wow, Ogama, such a good point. And thank you for bringing that up. I know I don't want to cut into your segment here, but I just have a personal experience with somebody that passed away. Their father was an antique store owner for many, many years. And guess what he had? He had scalps. He had all these things that was okay to sell, you know, 30, 40 years ago to other people. So it just blew my mind.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the idea of, you know, going into a museum and, you know, they're not a replica, they're not something that, you know, that it's not dinosaur bones, you know, it's not, although I don't necessarily believe in the treatment of the dinosaur nation in that way either, but I mean, you know, they're not replicas, and there's really no good reason for the remains of another human being to be on display in a museum or to be regularly used at a university level. Anything that can be learned from those remains has probably, number one, already been learned, and number two, does not need to be on display in a public setting to learn anything more from it. So
you're kind of cracking yourself up about that dinosaur clan, weren't you there for a second?
I was, you know, my family really enjoys, that's our favorite joke from Reservation Dogs, is the Dinosaur Nation. And we joke about it all the time. Couple more things in this STOP Act is what it's called, the Safeguard Tribal Objects and Patrimony Act. It's also going to require the convening of a Native working group consisting of representatives of Native tribes and Native Hawaiian organizations to provide advice on the issues concerning the return of and illegal trade in human remains and cultural items. And it increases the penalty for prison term for stealing or being convicted of selling, purchasing, using for profit, or transporting for sale or profit human remains or cultural items. It increases that from 5 years of prison time to 10 years of prison time for the maximum term. So it doesn't say that there's a minimum term, but they did increase the maximum term to 10 years. So that is definitely something that I'm feeling much relief about. And it says 2021, but I don't think that we touched base on that yet this year. So I wanted to make sure to bring that up. And then just a quick note here from CNBC, the Department of the Interior is providing three tribes $75 million to relocate from their coastal areas because they're at risk of destruction due to climate change. The Nutok Village and the Native Village of Napakiek in Alaska and the Quinault Indian Nation in Washington State are each going to receive $25 million to relocate their buildings inland. And they're also lining up and awarding $5 million grants to eight other tribes to help them plan for relocation because their tribes will need to be relocated. So they are on coastal areas that are at risk for destruction and flooding. And, you know, it just goes to show that tribal nations and Native peoples and other people of color are historically oppressed and disenfranchised groups in the United States and are more exposed to the effects of climate change and risk. So while I'm happy the federal government is giving the funding, it would have done a lot more to prevent this climate change to begin with.
Hey, Pina Gigi Ogama for the news. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be with talking to the executive director of Take Action Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit,
though nothing says the president can't be prosecuted,
set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership to say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Phones? Social media? You've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 29. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance of flurries. Lows dip down to about 23. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs around 28. Upper 20s Monday and Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 26.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, you know, this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I always like to say, I always like to say fighting for climate justice. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, I have a couple minute video here I'd love to play for our audience to one of our representatives, Heather Keeler, who's like a big time warrior. And she is talking, let me just set this up. She's talking during the House Human Services Finance Committee meeting a couple days ago. And she's talking to the commissioner in the Department of Human Services. And let's take a listen.
Sounds good.
Right on.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to need you to elaborate a little bit on initiate work to make Minnesota the best place for all children, including Black, Brown, and Indigenous children to grow up. What exactly is your plan to do that? Because the work that I've done with you all, I feel like doesn't necessarily align with that statement. So I'm interested to hear. I see that's like on the very last page. It's one of your big takeaways. And so just really interested to see that, especially because you haven't addressed the concerns that we have regarding ICWA in this entire like in presentation, when you know that that's a pretty extreme situation that we're dealing with that you all have oversight over.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair Knorr and Rep. Keeler. Our plan is to continue to make this commitment part of every single thing we do. We don't have a specific set of objectives for making that our work, but we do know that we need to go beyond talking about whether Minnesota is a good place for children and make sure it's a good place for all children. So that's the point of that biggest possibility, and so we need to continue to bake that into Black, Brown, and Indigenous children, and so we need to focus on their needs as we continue to work and improve the Medicaid program. And ICWA was a top priority for us. And so we've been working with the folks that are working to shore up MIFPA this session and deep into that conversation on a regular basis and making sure that we stay engaged with that and continuing to work on ICWA compliance with our counties and all of the aspects are there. ICWA training, we've had additional funding added over the last few years, and we're going to continue to do that. So ICWA is very, very high on our list of all the things that we do to make that possibility a reality.
Representative Keel.
I just find it concerning that it's nowhere. You're giving us a DHS 101 overview, and we know that Minnesota is worst in the nation for removal of Native American children 17-1. I've said this over and over and over. And you come to our committee and you're talking about the things that you do and you make the statement that you want to make Minnesota the best place for all children, yet you don't necessarily want to address, because to me it's fraud too. Fraud is not just about money. Fraud is about what you're doing with your oversight with our children. And I don't know how many more times I need to say it in this space or moving forward when you don't even address it in any of your slides. And maybe it's a slide I'm missing that's online somewhere. It's really contradicting to say that you as an organization, as an agency, want to make Minnesota the best place in the nation for Black, Brown, and Indigenous children and all children, yet you kind of refuse and turn your back on this massive issue that we have in this state. And I keep saying that, like, if you're going to come and you're going to address issues in Minnesota and you're not going to bring up ICWA or MIFPA and you're the organization and the agency that oversees that, that's a problem. That's a problem for me. It should be a problem for everybody else here. So I think that that's a statement that you need to take back to your agency and actually digest and like fix, because from what I've seen in our conversations and what our tribes are asking, we're not on a pathway to make Minnesota the best for all children. And we need to own our flaws in that, because unless we own it, we're never going to fix it. So I would just appreciate that as you enter into this space, don't fool us. We're not here to be blind by the fact that we are mistreating our Indigenous children in this state. And you as an agency has got to own that in some capacity. You cannot put a 101 presentation together and not highlight one of the biggest areas of concern that we should have as a state. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Keeler. We're with you.
Well, hey, Robert, welcome. You know, what I was thinking during that, it's just not even a generation ago that, you know, you being a city council member and that we would be able to have any representation or have anybody talk that way, you know, standing up for our kids and standing up for our nations.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. And wow, I mean, Jimmy Gwich, Representative Keeler, for saying what she had to say. I know from experience, it's not easy to sit in a room like that and say things like that, that extreme, very necessary truth-telling. And I just, my hat's off to her and really encouraging us all to support her and others who are willing to do what she just did.
Yeah, it's very, I'm kind of teary-eyed at watching it again because I edited the piece. It's got to be, you know, you can see it's kind of physically takes some power out of her by doing that. It's, I don't know, physically it must just really wear you guys down or wore you down, and it seems wear her down.
Well, yeah, thanks. I don't put myself in that class. I mean, she's young, she's a warrior, like you said, but I do know, and I've been really trying to be clear when you're putting truth like that out into the public discourse, it's important that the people that are listening to you know that it's labor, right? It's emotional labor. It is not fun. It's not a privilege to be able to say things. It's painful, right? And a lot of my work, day-to-day work, goes around to, interestingly, just lately, around areas of extreme desecration of Native lands by colonizers, by industrialization. And I have to remind the people that I'm talking to in dry toast policy conversations, this is hard, yeah. You know? And so I think the more we can lift that up, I mean, again, hats off to Representative Keeler for doing it. And the people who are listening to her need to know that it is not an easy lift for her or for anyone to talk about these very painful truths. And we're doing them the service, right? Right. We're giving them the privilege of hearing what the impacts of these policies, these practices have been.
Wow, Robert, what a great way to put it. We're giving them the privilege. It makes me think of, I think a few weeks ago we were joking on the show about, land acknowledgements and being paid and people coming in and it's just like, do your homework and do your own land acknowledgement.
Right. Google it. That's what I say these days when people ask me for Google it. But to that, Robert, I will tell you, just since our last conversation, and you know, I have the huge privilege of being in a number of policy tables where you know, I try to influence how the system responds to some of the issues of the desecration, of the damage that they've done to Native people, Native lands, Native communities. And I'm starting to step beyond the idea of land acknowledgments. You know, I'm actually helping a board that I sit on. It's the Minneapolis Convention and Visitors Association Board. I'm an officer of that board, and we're working on our land acknowledgement. But now to me, it's like, what is the next step? How do we manifest the acknowledgement to the damage that we've done, the land that we've stolen? How do we implement that into practices, policies? And now at the Met Council, I'm a Met Council member. It's our metropolitan regional governance. I'm trying to figure out how we actually integrate that into our land use policy guidelines and things. So it's not just a statement, but it's actually something that's living and manifest in our practices.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you know how a lot of the Red Power started back in 69 when they took over Alcatraz, because that it's somewhere in the treaty said if any federal land was left vacant, Native Americans could take it to give it back to them. So something like that in the cities would be awesome.
I agree. And so now we're a generation beyond that, maybe two generations. And so what does land back really look like? And I got to say, when I listen to people like Representative Keeler and just acknowledge my own privilege and access into conversations about how we can actually effectuate that, how we can do it, I think these are interesting times, and I feel very, very grateful to be where I'm at.
Yeah, really good point. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do the rest of the show with you, Robert, if you have time.
Sounds good.
We ate up a little bit of your segment there with a state representative, and I told Wendy to take the night off. And it's good to be on the air. It's good to talk about these things. It's really good to know these people. Because I don't know if you remember when we were having our symposiums during COVID, you stopped in a few times. Heather Keeler was on many times, and as much as she could, because she was running for her first cycle. And wow, just watch her growth and who she is, and she got reelected, and now she's not holding any bars back, obviously.
Love it.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren, and this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm woke. I'm all of above. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Memphis, five police officers have been fired as part of the ongoing investigation into the death of a black 29-year-old motorist. Family attorney Ben Crump says Tyree Nichols was beaten beyond recognition after he fled a traffic stop out of fear.
Tyree Nichols has no criminal history whatsoever. He's a hardworking young man. He was a hardworking young man employed by FedEx, working along with his father.
The FBI has launched a criminal rights investigation. More arrests related to the January 6th Capitol siege. Three active duty U.S. Marines under arrest for illegally entering the building. All three worked in military intelligence. The price of postage stamps increases tomorrow for the third time in nearly 17 months. The cost to mail a one-ounce letter will be 63 cents. It's up from 60 cents now. Regal Cinemas plans to close 39 movie theaters across the country in February, a move that could save $22 million annually. This is ABC News.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned, not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S. Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I was reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with the friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, and, you know, it was hard to go to the commercial there because of emotion and the proud, I'm making up words, the proudness that we have for our representative. It's still hard to believe in one sense in the last, we're roughly the same age that we're dealing with these good things that are heading our way slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. It is. And again, just to be so grateful and supportive of Representative Keeler for what she's willing to say, what she's willing to do. And, you know, and Commissioner Harstead, Jody Harstead, you know, heard her, had to hear her in that kind of a setting. I've known Jody Harstead for a long time, probably 20 years since she worked for Lutheran Social Service here in my neighborhood. And then as she went on to lead that agency and then shifted into her commissioner position. And I believe her heart's in the right place. And even someone who has the ability to be, or the potential to be, such a strong ally in our community, like Commissioner Harstead, she needs to be nudged, right? She needs to be made aware. She needs to be enlightened, and she needs to hear the truth. So that's, again, why I'm so grateful that Representative Keeler can do that.
To that point, Robert, I think it's really important, you know, we talk about, you know, sending the governor an email or calling them or any one of our representatives, because they do listen.
And they do listen.
Maybe it was just, you know, giving her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was just, maybe she thought it was just goes without saying. But, you know, being there as a representative and representing her district, but also her people and the relationship with the 11 tribes here in Minnesota, she had to speak up.
That's such a good point. And, you know, I know from my time here on the Minneapolis City Council, you know, I had my district, we call them wards, that I technically represented, but as the first and so far only tribal citizen to serve on the Minneapolis City Council, I had a huge non-geographic constituency, right? Native people found their way to me, to my office, to elevate their issues. And I took that as a huge privilege and a greater responsibility. So someone who may be in a district, you know, Representative Keeler's district is fairly rural. I mean, there's cities in it and everything, but there are other similarly situated rural representatives or greater Minnesota representatives that don't bear that same burden, right? So she's really needing to step up for, like you said, you know, the 11 tribes here, the scores and scores of Native people who are not from Minnesota tribes who still feel more represented because she's there and able to say those things. And so she's carrying an additional burden, right, that many of her colleagues aren't.
Right. And then before we move on, maybe you can just let our audience, because we get new people listening all the time over Civic Media, all over Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Dakotas, what ICWA really is and why it's a hot button right now and always been a hot button for us.
Right. And I'm no ICWA expert, but of course it stands for the Indian Child Welfare Act. And it's legislation that specifically identifies measures, means that need to be taken to care for Native children. And what Representative Keeler was referencing there is that here in Minnesota, we have the highest placement of Native children into non-Native households when they're taken into both foster care and adoption. As we know, adoption like that was a key strategy of forced assimilation and the efforts to completely eliminate Native cultures in this country. And so it's a very important and sensitive and hot button issue here, and especially here in Minnesota, where we perform the worst in the nation. And so ICWA is under attack at every level, state level, federal level, right now, Supreme Court level. And so it's very important that we have warriors like Representative Keeler defending it.
Yeah, and my tribe sent me to Washington when they were hearing for ICWA and the Supreme Court. And we know what happened and what they have not hidden their agenda about what's going to happen, the new Supreme Court.
Right, it's not hidden at all, right? And ICWA is just sort of a first domino to fall. It's a way of attacking sovereignty on all levels. And so if ICWA falls, so goes a lot of other federally recognized and protected rights for Native people.
So let's get back to what you were talking a little bit about when we were talking about land back and a little history out there from Alcatraz when that was taken over, and somebody like John Trudeau was very, very young and doing a radio show from there. And so do we have anything like that in Minnesota or Wisconsin where if the federal land is abandoned, that we could take it over? I really don't know, so I thought I'd ask you, or maybe you don't know.
And I really don't. I'm not a lawyer. It's not my area of expertise. We have seen some really, really positive instances of land back recently here in Minnesota, which is exciting. And in my day job, you know, I get to work on some similar issues right here in Minneapolis, and about how we can recognize sort of native rights to particular places, to land here, to our land, even if there isn't technical sovereignty. And I'm involved in a super interesting project down by St. Anthony Falls and Spirit Island, trying to figure out what that looks like. And it's not radical activism. As a matter of fact, it's arduous and time consuming and sometimes a little painful, but I think we can figure it out. And I feel like if we can figure it out here, can we transfer that to other areas, not just in the Twin Cities, where there's plenty of opportunities to do this, but statewide or even nationally?
Yeah. Wow. That's really exciting. And to have you there and to speak up and in regards to native land back, really, right?
Yeah, that's really what it is. And again, going into those spaces that aren't used to hearing the truth-telling, like Representative Keeler was doing in your film clip, but need to hear that, right? And again, I just feel so privileged to be in those spaces.
Well, and then, you know, your good friend and Lieutenant Governor is going to be sending us... starting this week, she sent us a nice little segment talking about what's going on. She speaks about coming into a gallery that isn't made for her and wasn't made for our people. And she used to speak about that a lot and still does once in a while because I see her around a lot. That's got to weigh heavy emotionally and physically on her.
I'm sure it does. And, you know, before she was our lieutenant governor, our whiter sister, Peggy Flanagan, was a legislator as well at the state capitol. And so you walk in and you see all these depictions of the indigenous people here and these depictions of colonizers taking land, desecrating land. I mean, those are meant to send a message, right? Those are meant to make Native people feel bad about themselves, about their histories, about their cultures. And so just stepping into that space is already an oppressive action, right? And then sort of to rise above that and to point that out and to do that kind of truth-telling in those spaces takes a lot of strength.
You know, I don't know if a lot of people listening, especially in Wisconsin, know about our state flag, but that's a really interesting, you know, where you're talking, I was thinking about that. That's a really interesting little cartoon, or I don't know how you'd put it, a little graphic there of a farmer that probably stole the land, has a rifle, on a stump or a tree stump, and a wild Indian in the background.
Right, right. And that kind of imagery just pervades, you know, the city of Minneapolis, Seal, and others. And that was an acknowledgement, right, by our forebears here that they knew what they were doing. They knew they were stealing land. They knew they were oppressing and eliminating people. They put it right into sort of official symbolism. And so when we talk to people today, and, you know, you'll often hear, well, that wasn't me. You know, that was years ago. I didn't do any of that.
Right.
You can point to these little like breadcrumbs back to their forebears who did it.
Right.
Point out to them that this was very intentional.
Well, we talk about the removal of the Ho-Chunk. We don't talk about it a lot here, but the removal of the Ho-Chunk out of Minnesota and all the lands that was taken and stolen. The crops were already halfway, grown in, what we like to call European Americans as opposed to Native Americans. They just took over the land and took over the crops and said, see you later. And big thing coming, you know, with the Knights of the Forest, which are the precursor of the Klan, that removed the Ho-Chunk people here out of Minnesota right after the Sioux Uprising.
Right. A very, very much an untold story, right? I would say a lot of Native people in the state, but certainly non-Native people, have no clue about that dark part of our history here, or a clue about many of the tribes that this land home. And most folks, or many folks now, know that this was Dakota land, that the Ojibwe are a prominent presence here in Minnesota, but Ho-Chunk and other tribes and traditions aren't even talked about here.
Right. I always say too, people under 40 don't know the story. I think people over 40 do know that Ho-Chunk have been here for 10,000 years, and there was no state lines, and we were all over the place, and we are recognized, not recognized, but we have a history in Illinois and Iowa and the Dakotas too. We were all over the place.
Right. As were so many Native people. Right. And I was just thinking about this earlier today, Robert, about how much the system of colonization relies on what's not said. Right. And what's not discussed. And so perfect example here. I was reading an article in New York Times about a new grisly discovery in Canada about more graves of residential school children. And the whole article, not one reference to the same thing happening in this country.
Wow. Hey, Robert, stay with us, would you, for the last segment here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm with Robert Lilligren and of Native American Community Development Institute and a lot of other things. Great to talk. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters.
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 29. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance of flurries. Lows dip down to about 23. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs around 28. Upper 20s Monday and Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 26.
Push our button and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl. Howl. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren, and I'm going, every time I hear that, I think we have to, if Wendy was in a union, we'd have to pay her each time for being on. She's got that little, yeah, it's great. So, you know, in thinking of Wendy too, she always would send me a note when we were talking and, or if I'm talking to Dr. Stately or anything, is to ask them what they want to talk about. So what I'm going to do in memory of my wife is is ask Robert, what would you like to talk about here in this last segment?
Well, I appreciate that, Robert. Thank you. And just to acknowledge, Wendy's still here, right? It's not a memorial or anything like that.
She's in New York and she was on yesterday.
Yeah. And I've been following your travels, so on social media. And, you know, I enjoy the directions our conversations take, as I'm sure they sound to your listeners. They're very spontaneous conversations, and that's just fine. And so the one thing I kind of prepped up a little is what's happening more on the federal level. It's just been drawing my attention. You know, there's so much going on here in Minnesota at our Capitol. It's very dynamic. Our legislature is in session. We have, for the first time in a decade, a Democratic controlled Senate, House, and Governor's office. So lots of hope there, right? And I'm not in it, but I'm close enough to what's going on at the Capitol to see how dynamic it is. And so I've been really shifting to watching what's going on at the federal level. And it's so fascinating with the new Republican majority in Congress and the House, and how they're sort of preparing themselves. You know, they're going to have their first big test, I think, their first big test in the debt ceiling, right? We've just hit our debt ceiling in this country, and something's going to need to happen, you know. And so kind of watching that play out. And then, of course, another is in the whatever Speaker McCarthy did to get that speakership, to get the gavel, right? And so now we're starting to see some of his deals that he made percolate up with an oversight committee, you know, which is just crazy. And so that's kind of what's been drawing my attention lately.
He has no power, and it just proved that for 15 votes. I don't know how many days that was, a week. And so he's put people in these committees that should be, you know, they shouldn't be in the committee because what they're studying is what these people did.
right, exactly, yeah. Especially the Oversight Committee, right? That's become kind of the QAnon committee with people like Representative Bobart and Taylor Greene and others, and people who should not be overseeing the intricacies of our democracy, but they are. They're empowered, and you're exactly right. They've disempowered the speaker. And so I was reading some analysis, several actually, that said the White House is actually kind of happy about that, although House Democrats are kind of freaked. But it's just going to be so much easier to discredit their work when they have such extremists running the committee.
You know, I got to bring up too, Robert, if you're talking national too, I really feel like, I got to tell you the story really quick because we only have a few minutes in the last segment here. So I went out to breakfast in New York in Long Beach, Long Island, very red area. And Wendy's, you know, sleeps till noon. So I was up early taking a walk. And I went into this diner that had Fox on there. And I'm just, I'm going, oh, what the heck? Let's just see what's happening here. And it was blaring into this diner. And this one gentleman said to me, it's because it was when Biden's, the records and the classified records were at his places, and he didn't say anything in the press conference, and he was all upset. And I said, well, these guys told on themselves. The other guy didn't want to give it back. I mean, there's a big difference.
He bought it. Right? He bought it every step of the way, right? Whereas, Biden's been, there's really very little comparison. They'll make every comparison possible, but you're exactly right. And sort of the numbers of documents and in the procedures and the handling of them, it's so different. One represents maybe negligence, which isn't good, by President Biden, but the other represents true malfeasance.
Exactly. And then being out east again, all this going on, Long Beach is in Long Island, so we have this new representative that we don't know who he is. I guess it's funny, but it's not funny.
I can't look away from that, Robert. I wish I could. It's become kind of a guilty pleasure just watching every detail of the George Santos, if that's indeed his real name, right, the George Santos story unfold. And it's like a guilty pleasure of mine. And it just gets get better and better. Now there's this drag, history of performing in drag. There's the hideous story of how he robbed a disabled vet, a homeless disabled vet, of money to save the vet's service dog's life. I mean, it's just gruesome. It's only in America, right? Only in America.
And he's kind of a young dude. He has done a lot of lying for being such a young person.
Yeah, he is pathological, clearly. And he just amazes me. I'm sure you've seen the clip where he's at a January 6th Stop the Steal rally, speaking about how his first election was stolen from him, just like Trump's, and the big joke is he's wearing it looks like a Brooks Brothers scarf that he stole from his roommate. His roommate has come forward. I mean, it's stuff like that. It's so bad. I can't look away. It's like watching a slow motion train wreck or something.
They showed a couple, I don't know what I was watching, but they had the roommate on a couple networks.
Oh, yeah.
MSNBC, and the poor guy looks like he's still going through trauma with him being a roommate.
No doubt, and I'm sure everyone has experienced people like that, right? Sort of pathological liars who have no basis in truth and, just kind of get by. But to see someone rise to that level of power and, be willingly supported and protected so far by Republican leadership in the House. It's shameful for sure, but it's just shocking.
Well, and, being out east during some of this, each Republican lawmaker in Long Beach is saying, you need to quit.
I do give the local Republicans credit. They are standing up, and then several of other Republican Congress people from New York and Democrats for sure. But it's the leadership, right? They put them on committees. He's got two committee assignments. It's like, as an American, I don't want that guy anywhere near legislating for our country, And at some point, where do you take a stand? I mean, you can kind of elevate it up to the presidential race, right? As we're off on the 2024 campaign season. When do you take a stand against Trump? You've had every opportunity since he lost his election. When do we actually say no more?
Yeah, and the governor down in Florida is no, I wouldn't want him running for president either. I mean, he's just like slashing and changing history as he goes with the books and the colleges. Nobody's going to want to go down to Florida for college.
We don't. My husband and I don't go to Florida anymore. We have relatives there. We have every opportunity to go. We have made the determination we're not going there. We're not spending our money. We're not supporting the state economy. And now Governor DeSantis, is going after trans people, transgender college students in an aggressive way. And yeah. how does that serve the people? How? And so I like that DeSantis is kind of coming out as a front runner, because those front runners always crash and burn. So it'll be good to see if that happens. But wow. This next presidential election cycle is going to be huge.
Right on. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for being on, and really great. Always fun having a conversation, and really a meaningful conversation, and I really enjoy this, and I know our audience does. All I have to say is free Leonard Peltier now.
You've got advanced prostate cancer, but you're not waiting around. You want straight talk, the facts about Orgovyx.
Orgovyx relugolix, 120 milligram prescription tablets, is a treatment for adults with advanced prostate cancer. Fact, Orgovyx is a different kind of androgen deprivation therapy treatment, a pill, not an injection. Orgovyx may cause serious side effects, including a heart condition called QT prolongation. Tell your doctor right away if you feel dizzy, faint, have a racing or pounding heart, or chest pain. Orgovyx can cause harm to an
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.